Well, good evening, and it's good to see you back tonight. Didn't run too many of you off this morning. Well, wasn't it good this morning to see those folks join the church? And I know you've been waiting on that for some of them. What a praise to the Lord for that. Good to see visitors back tonight, and we just thank God for being here with us. I want to speak to you out of the psalmist tonight, out of Psalms 62. So if you want to go ahead and start turning there, that's where we're going to wind up here in just a moment. I'll just read a verse or two from another psalm in chapter 31, but our text will be from 62, Psalm 62. We had a real enjoyable afternoon with Steve and Vicky and Jeff and Christy and the girls, and just had a good time with them, and thank God for their friendship and kindness, and very happy to be back with y'all today. I was visiting there for a moment with Brother Ray, and he said that the search committee is working and have been they've been looking at some guys and praying about, but the Lord's just shut the doors on those guys, and they continue the search. And so may God help the church find the pastor that he wants this church to have. Interestingly enough, I'm going to be speaking tonight on how to wait. How to wait. It's hard to wait, isn't it? How many of you like to wait? I mean, if I get at the stop sign, I'm impatient. I'm kind of itching forward a little bit, waiting for that light to turn green. I don't like it. Margaret Thatcher, the Prime Minister a few years ago of Great Britain, she said this, "I'm extraordinarily patient, provided I get my own way in the end." I kind of feel with her. I can wait as long as I know I'm going to get what I want. And I think that's the way we are. Because waiting is not pleasant, is it? You're in the doctor's office and you're having to wait to go in. You don't know what the results are yet. That is an unpleasant time. Or you know you're going to have to go back and get your eyes checked. Just an unpleasant wait. Mr. Orange back there, I had to hit him with one. But hey, guess what? I'm going to need bifocals. Yeah. Join the club, huh? Yeah, I'm sometimes, depending on the print, having to pull these puppies off so I can see the words. So I may be coming to visit you, doctor, and have to wait, I'm sure. But waiting is not pleasant. It's seldom easy. It's a part of life. You don't always get it when you want it, and you don't always get what you want. But as a Christian, we're called and commanded to wait by God often in our lives, because sometimes His will, His prescription for us, means that we have to, our life is paused from time to time. And so, if priority is we're going to do it God's way, then sometimes we have to hit the brakes. We don't like that, do we? But that's sometimes what God said. Think about Noah building an ark for 120 years. Don't you think there was a lot of patience involved there? And then on the ark for a year, waiting to get off. I would assume there was a lot of waiting patiently or impatiently. How about Abraham and Sarah? Just consider them for a moment. Rebecca and I never had any trouble getting pregnant. That's an obvious conclusion. But Abraham and Sarah, she's 75 years old, God says, "I'm going to give you a son." And for one, she's probably thought, no, that's never going to happen now. But then at 90 years old, she finally gets a son. And Abraham's 100 years old before he gets a son. He was 75. He waited 25 years to get the son that God promised. Now tell me that's not patience. Well, he did get a little impatient, but we won't get into that. But that's patience, isn't it? What about Joseph? Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers and then put into prison on false charges. And maybe as many as 15 years passes by before he's brought up out of prison and finally gets his day to show that God is on his side and God is going to work through him to do great things. I can imagine that Joseph had a lot of days where they were grueling, testing, waiting, patient. One of the things you don't want to pray for is patience. God may put you through a test to develop patience. The New Testament says that trials works patience. But patience, perseverance works hope. And in verse 14, I'll just read Psalm 31 before we look at 62. But verse 14 says, "But I trusted in the Lord. O Lord, you said, you are my God." And now notice verse 15. "My times are in your hands." Or it's actually not plural, hand. Say that with me. I think it'll help you to say this with me. My times are in your hand. How many of us are willing to say that to God tonight? Whatever you want to do with me, and whenever you want to do that with me, God, my times, my life is in your hand. That's saying, God, I will wait. Now, if you want to flip over there to Psalm 62, I'll read to us a few verses of this before we get into the main thought, or just continuing this thought and these points that I have. In Psalm 62, the Bible says, "Truly my soul waits upon God. From Him comes my salvation." Psalmist is saying, my soul truly waits, or my soul only waits, and the word can be translated silent. It waits silently upon God. From Him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Now, if we can say with the psalmist those two verses, then we will be willing to wait on what God has got for us in the end. We can say with Margaret Thatcher, "I will be content as long as I know I'm going to get what I want in the end." And if you trust in God, you're going to get the right thing in the end. You're going to get the thing that He wants you to have in the end if you're just willing to wait on Him. Verse 5 says, "My soul, wait thou only," or alone, "upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only," or alone, "is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." Now, if you think about God being your expectation and God being your defense, it'll take a little the edge off of waiting, won't it? If God's going to handle this, God's going to take care of me if I will just trust in Him alone. And verse 7, "In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." Trust in Him at all times. You people, pour out your heart before Him. And that is a continuing thought. Pour out your heart before Him at all times. Trust in Him at all times. God is a refuge for us. Jump down to verse 10. Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to every man according to his work. Now God is saying, rest in me, trust in me, wait on me. So there's some things that we need to understand as it relates to waiting on God. Number one, if you're writing these things down, waiting on God is the rule rather than the exception. Waiting on God is the rule rather than the exception. Perhaps you learned this when you were waiting on your spouse that you were to marry. Or maybe it's a second marriage. You're waiting on God to bring you back into connection with that perfect mate. Maybe it's a child that you wanted to have and you're waiting like Abraham and Sarah. You waited on that child. Maybe it's a job fulfillment, or perhaps it's to see someone, a loved one, saved. We can all relate in some way to this rule. Waiting on God is the rule rather than the exception. Now, you might come up to me and say to me, Brother Joe, I pray it happens. I get down on my knees and I pray, and I get up and the phone rings and it's the answer to my prayer. That may be the case for you, and if it is, I certainly want you to come and talk to me, because I'm going to give you some prayer requests that I want you to pray about. But it's usually the exception, the rule, that is, rather than the exception. Most people I know, I didn't say the ones you know, but the most of the people that I know make waiting on God the exception, and trusting in their own ability to get something done, and in their own strength to make something happen. That's the rule. Now let's just be honest. Is that not the kind of people that most of us run with? We don't like to wait on God, so we just kind of push ahead and try to get it done on our own. And oftentimes, the door is not open and we try to kick it down. Remember, sometimes God doesn't answer for years. Here's the second part of this I want you to get. Understand this. Waiting can be very difficult, but it's how God matures us. Waiting can be difficult, but it's often how God matures His servants. I don't suppose that Abraham and Sarah were ready for Isaac, or God would have given him a little sooner. As a matter of fact, I don't think Abraham was ready for Mount Moriah and offering his son up as an offering and trusting God with his son's life until his son was even up in his own, maybe into his late teens, early 20s. You see, God sometimes doesn't let things happen in our lives because we're not ready for them yet. You look back over your life. Let's just be honest. If you guys will just nod your head in honesty with me, there were some things that God waited to give you because you weren't ready for it yet. There were some things God was not going to let you experience because He couldn't trust you with it yet. It's how He matures us, waiting. Then there's another thought here. Waiting means resting and not worrying. If you're going to do it God's way, you can't sit there and wring your hands over the fact that it's not happened yet. You've got to trust God. Stop worrying. So, Brother Joe, what do we do while we wait? Here's what the psalmist said that we're supposed to do while we wait. Number one, don't panic. He said in verse 2, God only is my rock and my salvation. Stop right there. God is my rock and my salvation. What is he saying about God? He is the foundation. He is not going to be moved. He is my stability. And he is who takes care of me. He has rescued me and he will keep me safe. He's my Savior. That's what he said about God. I'm in the hands of one who cannot be moved, who holds me in his hands. Now read the last part of that verse. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Here comes the fiery darts of the devil. Here comes the challenges in your life. Here comes the disappointments. Here comes the delays that happen so often in our lives. And if we will say like the psalmist, I'm not going to panic, then we will be safe in the hands of God. I'm not going to panic. God's got this. I won't be moved. While we wait, we don't panic. Number two, we don't fret. Truly, verse 1 says, truly or only my soul waits upon God. From Him comes my salvation. The only thing that I trust in is God. I'm not going to worry about anything else. How many of us, life circumstances change and we start fretting over the outcome of the circumstance? How many of you could change the circumstance to begin with? What did he say in the New Testament? Worry about nothing. Somebody finish that sentence. Pray about everything. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. It was either Lottie Moon or Corrie Ten Boom that said this. If I can't move someone through prayer, they can't be moved. What do you think about that? Write that down. And that may not be the right person that I quoted there. If they can't be moved through prayer, they can't be moved. If God can't move them, you can't either. What we do is we worry about it and we don't pray about it. Can we just be honest about that tonight? Something confronts us and we're worrying about how could we have changed that? How can we fix that? We want to get around the problem. If you're a man, you want to fix the problem. My wife will come to me with some need, something's going on. There's a crisis moment, and I go into fix-it mode. How can I remedy this? And that's not what God wants us to do sometimes. He just wants us to trust Him to handle the situation. Stop fretting about it. Start worrying about it. Now, there's a third thing we can do while we wait. Focus on the Lord. Verse 5 says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God." Look at verse 6. "He only is my rock and my salvation." Look at verse 7. "In God is my salvation and my glory." If you look at verse 1, "Truly my soul waits upon God." What is the common denominator about all of those verses? God. I'm waiting on God. I'm trusting in God. He is my salvation. He is my defense. My focus is on Him as I'm waiting. When I was a young man, younger, I heard a lot of people telling me, if you'll just focus on the Lord, God will bring by you that perfect mate that He has for you. You ever told anybody that? Maybe somebody told you that. We've got a 20-year-old and an 18-year-old, and sometimes I wonder if they think they're going to be old maids. They don't understand. They got a lot of time left. Here's what you tell young people, isn't it? Focus on the Lord and let Him bring that person into your life. Here's what you tell somebody that's searching for the job, the career that they want. Work hard and put God first and let Him put you where He wants you. Let Him help you with those doors that need to be opened. I mean, wait on God to put you in the spot that you need to be in. Somebody said about highway patrolmen, if they're in Guymon, Oklahoma, or they're in Stillwell, Oklahoma, they're in trouble, or they're from there. But the truth of the matter is, some people may want to be employed in Stillwell, Oklahoma, or Salisaw, Oklahoma. And it doesn't do us a bit of good if we leave God out of the equation. He's got to be the one we're focused on. God, this is what my heart's desires. I want to be here. I want to be with them. God, I want my child to be successful. God, and the list could go on and on and on. The focus needs to be on Him and let Him handle the rest. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," Matthew 6, "and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, if that's not a promise right from the mouth of Jesus, then I've never heard one. Seek Him first and watch Him do the rest in your life. Focus on the Lord. Trust in God's character. What is God's character? Well, here in the psalmist, He's the deliverer. He's the author of hope. 4 times in this passage it says, "He is my salvation." What is God's character? He is totally reliable. 3 times it says, "He is my rock." What is God's character? 2 times it says, "He is my defense," a shelter or a protection from the enemy. 2 times it says, "He's my refuge, a stronghold of safety." That's who He is. That's who we're focusing in. That's who our trust is centered around. 1 time it says, "He will be my glory." It also says in verse 11 that all power belongs unto God. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs unto God. It also says there in verse 12 that He loves us beyond comprehension. Says that Unto Him, the Lord, belongs mercy, for He renders to every man according to his work. If I will understand the character of God, if I will realize who I'm focusing in, I will not be moved. I will hear Him when He speaks. I will trust in His ability and not my own. I will then pour out my heart to Him and not trust in my own heart. I will wait and expect things from Him. That's what the psalmist's prescription is for us. If I will focus on Him, trusting in His character, here's the way to look in my life. Because if I get ahead of God, I'm going to get hurt. But if I wait on God, I'll be safe. Rebecca was... Are you reading Amy Carmichael or Lottie Moon right now? Amy Carmichael, I think, said this. She said, the safest place in the world is in the center of the will of God. I believe that. If I'm where I'm supposed to be, the enemy cannot touch me. If he does, God is up to something. I'm still safe because I'm still under His control. Why wait? Because of the benefits. The psalmist said there's deliverance, there's security, there's hope, there's glory, and there's refuge if I'll wait on God. Here's my final thoughts. Three truths for us today we can take home, and I think they'll last if you'll put them to use. If you're really waiting on God, it means you're trusting in God. If you're waiting on God for something that you've turned over to Him, you're trusting in Him. How many of you waiting on a child, adult child, to come back home? You put it in His hands and you trust Him with it. Some of you here tonight are waiting on spouse or child to be saved. Just keep putting that in the hands of God. And that means you're trusting Him. Most of you are in the career that you believe God's put you in. Most of you aren't looking. Some of you might be. Some of you are young enough that you don't know. You're not sure quite where God is moving you. What He's doing with you. Waiting is synonymous with trusting. I'm just going to say, God, I put it in Your hand. Here's another thought. Waiting implies resting. It implies I'm not trying to do something that only God can do. It also implies that I'm praying. Resting implies that I'm letting God handle this. Now, with the most direct thought tonight, you're praying and waiting on a pastor. God knows who He wants. Waiting implies you're trusting Him. Don't get ahead of God. And pray. Don't let a day pass that you haven't prayed about this. It might be that you need to call special prayer meeting and bring the church together twice a month for prayer for this specific cause. And then just rest. Don't try to outmaneuver God. If you can't move them in prayer, they can't be moved. We've got 5 or 6 churches right now looking for pastors in our association. Some of them are content with their interim. They're done. If the interim would be their pastor, they're finished looking. Others of them, they just don't quite know what to do. The truth of the matter is, when God does it, everybody will know it. When God brings that individual to this church that He wants for this church, won't anybody question it? Will they? That's what God does. God, I pray I reckon Pharaoh wasn't looking in prison for his next right-hand man, but You knew where he was. The church wouldn't have chosen Saul of Tarsus to be their leader, but You knew who he was and what You were up to in his life. Levi was the tax collector nobody liked. But he wrote one of the most beautiful gospels and was one of Your chief apostles. What You can do, God, is far bigger than what we can do. What we can maneuver, manipulate to accomplish, just small pebbles compared to Your almighty ability. So tonight, we agree. Salisol First agrees. I agree that, Lord, in the life of the individuals, in the life of this church, You know far better than we do. You can do far more than we can. And God, whatever You want to orchestrate, however You want to do it, we're willing to wait. We're willing to just say, God, You know best. And You know how. Lord, there's some lost children that we know, adult and younger, and some of them are unrepentant, rebellious, We don't know how to reach them, Lord. We've tried with the gospel. We've tried bringing them to Sunday school and church. We just want to keep praying for them, Lord, and keep witnessing that they would be saved. And some people here tonight, they need a loving spouse, a husband or a wife. And I pray you'll bring those two souls together and your name would be praised. You would raise up godly home. And then, Lord, there's others that need a job or they need a place to live. And Lord, I know that you will help them as they trust you. There's so many variables, Lord. And so, please make application by your Holy Spirit into the lives of your people tonight, right where they need it. Truly, God, our soul waits upon you. You are our salvation, our refuge, our defense. You're our rock. Whatever you want, that's what we want. Thank you for such a sweet spirit today. Thank you for those that joined. Thank you, Father, for your people who faithfully love you and serve you here. We plead on their behalf that you'd bring the man you want here as their pastor. The search committee is being patient. They're waiting. They're praying. They're searching. Oh God, help them. We love you, Father, and we know that you have good things in store for us, things that we cannot even comprehend, things that are beyond our imagination. Oh God, we're willing to trust you. So help us. In Jesus' name, amen.